Fed Talks is a podcast for theater teachers and theater education students. Hi, I'm Dr. Jimmy Chrisman, theater education professor at Illinois State University. Each week I bring you stories and interviews from experienced K-12 theater teachers, current theater education majors, professors of theater education, and teaching artists that will warm your heart, renew your faith in teaching, and provide resources to better your practice in your theater classroom. So grab your coffee or glass of wine, plug in your headphones or turn up your car stereo, and relax. Thanks for joining me for these heartwarming conversations and practical advice from other theater teachers on the front lines making a difference in their students' lives each and every day. I am very excited to welcome to this episode of Fed Talks Richard Blank, who is currently talking to me from the lovely, lovely area of Costa Rica, from Costa Rica's call center. He has been a teaching artist, a linguist artist, ESL professor, and doing all these many different things for 22 years. And I am very excited to hear Richard's connection to theater education and where we're going to go with this. So Richard, welcome. Share your story and tell us how we got to where we are in Costa Rica right now.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'm so happy to be here today on the Fed Talks podcast. I really appreciate being a guest, and I have some amazing insights in regards to non-visual speech and delivery. Just like the old-time radio stars, we're going to discuss today expression through non-visual speech.
Where did this all begin for you, and how did we get to where you are now with your career and your passions?
It's a wonderful question there, Jimmy. Well, it actually started off back in Northeast Philadelphia. When I graduated Abington High School in 91, I decided to be a Spanish and communication major and not go to Ivy League to study medicine or law. I went to the University of Arizona, and I focused on public speaking, rhetoric, and nonverbal communication. During college, I had the opportunity to be an intern for Telemundo for 2 years. So I did promotions and public relations. Post-grad, I worked with the importers of Corona. So I was always doing something in sales, Spanish, and naturally promotions, because I'm able to, once again, promote something in a favorable light. But this is where I had my one in a million opportunity. A very good friend of mine back in August of 2000 offered me a chance to move to Central America, to Costa Rica, and to work at his call center for 2 months to teach English to English second language agents. Now, I don't know if you ever worked in a call center before. You've seen it on TV, but it is a very amazing linguistic environment. These individuals are conversing on the phone. They're converting calls. They're getting positive escalations for clients with amazing experiences. And it really sheds some light on the art of speech compared to what I see today, Jimmy, where it's all texting and emails. It's non-voice. And there are certain areas where I believe can pack a stronger punch is first, interpersonal communication verbally. And second, we can also discuss certain non-visual tell signs phonetically that may assist actors or people that are willing to, once again, have a stronger foundation in regards to their arguments.
I love hearing people's journeys and their stories to how they get where they are, because it's never a linear path. It always takes fun twists and turns, and yours is no different. I know my teachers who are listening right now are itching to hear, and I want to get into it in just a little bit, but I want to unpack a couple of the things you talked about. But I know they're itching to hear what they can do to help prepare their students if this is the path they want to go down eventually, and utilizing their voice and these interpersonal skills. Because I think when you and I, you messaged me a little bit ago about those soft skills, and I want to unpack that as well. But before we get into all that, tell me a little bit about your time in Philadelphia and then in Arizona as you were studying Spanish and communications.
Well, Jimmy, my good friend, we've all been there in life where opinions have been provided for you, and sometimes you might be pushed into a certain career and a predestined act that you might not want to go into, so it's almost like a forced fit. Dreamers sometimes walk alone, and I wasn't being careless with my career decisions. Obviously, if I were the only one out of the 100 friends that I have that could speak Spanish and be bilingual, it made me marketable. Secondly, I was able to see positive reinforcement for individuals outside of the classroom, because actors, if you think about it, they just don't practice on stage or with their theater partners. They always are working on their craft, either by listening and observing, or by recording themselves, or just being any sort of engagement. And I think that anybody that puts into that dedicated practice becomes a better speaker. Fortunately for me and you, all the world's a stage. It's not like we have to download, plug in, or be somewhere. You can act anytime in any place. And I decided to do it in a sort of way that was strategic and diplomatic, because I was a salesman. I wasn't going into theater, which would have been a lot of fun, but once again, I chose another path. But for me in college, I found these communication classes incredible, because it really did reinforce your self-confidence, your self-reliance. And I will say something to your amazing teachers out there. The best teachers I had were the ones that wrote me college recommendation letters, so I was able to get into college. My grades weren't the best. But teachers that let you not take the test a second time, but if you learn the answer, if you wrote your paper, if you came to office hours, you'd get a better grade. If that's what you're angling for, then dig away. Get your A minus, whatever you want to do. But the one teacher that kept telling me to expand, elaborate, focus on a thesaurus so you can choose similes and try to prevent any sort of egos or rabbit holes and try to add a momentum and readjust the tone of a conversation. These educators were brilliant. These are the ones that really had me love what I do compared to making it a forced march. And little did I know that if you write well with compositions and business letters, if you take a chance to listen more than you speak, you might be able to readjust your arguments in a certain way, not to provoke. And you might become someone that people gravitate to speak for them. You could be the one that stands up and speaks for 20. Because once again, you're not offensive, you're diplomatic, and you represent that group in the best light. And some of my influences, if I may share, because I'm a speaker, I loved old time radio. So Basil Rathbone was a huge influence of mine. And I love Humphrey Bogart as well. But I also enjoyed speakers such as Jeremy Brett or Remington Steele or Templeton Peck, you know, Pierce Brosnan or Dirk Benedict, because these were individuals that instead of trying to pack a punch like Mr. T, the face man in the A-team was able to get things done just being suave and having delivery and timing. And I gravitated towards that. I found that very interesting and unoffensive. And if once again, I was able to properly represent myself, there is a certain way that you can gain some sort of traction and distance from that. And being here at this call center, it's non-visual. You're losing three of your senses, your taste, touch, and smell. You should be expanding your hearing. But I also believe in metaphysics. There is image streaming. Imagination is better than the book. And there's no reason why to use additional descriptive vocabulary and adjectives in order to make your point. And so I think some of the greatest artists have colorful speech, where even if your eyes are opened or closed, you can still picture what they're discussing with you. And there is congruence where audio matches the visual. And unless someone has that self-assurance and composure, they're going to kind of be offbeat a little bit. And that's sometimes when we study micro-expression reading, but that could be for another day. But I loved what I saw here. And besides the dignity and empathy that I would extend to those that work with me, I really did see an amazing art of speech. And it's something that I almost feel like I have a luxury trade, because I get to work with rhetoric and earn a living from it. And so for me, it's been fascinating and very rewarding, Jimmy.
Well, I would love to hear a little bit more about some of those influential teachers that you've had through the years. I mean, it could be when you were in Philadelphia, it could be when you were in Arizona in college, or even now as we have teachers every day in our life. So what are some of those big moments and big people in your life who have impacted you?
Oh, so many along the way. Maybe it was the lower school principal, Germantown Academy, Samuel Jackson, that had a lot of patience for me as I was growing in those early years. And when I moved from Germantown Academy to Abington Public High School, it was a little different. You went from 50 kids to 500 kids, and you're the new kid in town. And so it was enabling me to start afresh again. And the fact that I had a college recommendation letter from the late principal Norman Schmidt, and I wasn't an honor roll student, but these individuals believed in me. And my Spanish teacher, Esperanza Galshak, saw the fact that I loved Spanish and wanted to influence me. And so Abington, outside of the classroom, I was able to work with student government. I was able to raise money for the school, practice my public speaking with their resources. And even today, Angelo Berrios, the principal of Abington High School, extended me one of the greatest honors. I was the 68th National Honor Society induction ceremony speaker. And I was able to give a speech. I did it virtually because of COVID. But for someone that never hit those high grades, was an average student, but really loved his school, the fact that I was able to pay it forward and have a second language scholarship that I pay for every year. So a senior, I can pay for their books, and someone that wants to study second languages at a university level. And I believe that if individuals find the right fit for somebody where their intentions are honorable, they do their due diligence, and somebody really has a passion for something, a teacher by all means should assist you. And there was also a very interesting teacher back in the day. Her name was Mrs. Biothi. She did a developmental reading class. I really took it for my SAT prep, but this individual taught you how to skim, how to take notes, how to circle and underline, how to really organize your note-taking, which just boosted my SAT skills and pretty much prepared me for college. And so these teachers are specialists. They can literally assist you in certain areas for your development. And the ones that take a real active interest in a student and just maybe makes the real compliment, not with the red pen saying, see me after class, they circle a certain area and go, that's excellent. You know, can you expand on that? I love those teachers that try to get those emotions out of you. Now, in college, it was a little different. It's a very large university. And once again, you had some amazing teachers there. But I think the greatest influence I had at the university level was outside the classroom once again. When I raised money for Casa de los Niños, I did a haircut marathon for them, and I had to work with Telemundo. So that was a time for me to do promotions, public relations, sell it, and promote it. And then once again with Telemundo, they gave me the experience to do a Javelina Cantina chili eating contest at the Tucson Toros game. So I got a chance to speak in front of 5,000 people. And during those 2 years, I was able to meet a very large, influential Latino broadcaster such as Miguel Quintana, that was out of Los Angeles, and Pedro Sefcak, that had that very famous talk show out of Florida. And so these individuals, once again, saw my potential, gave me some advice, and were just, they were incredible, because when I saw them interact with their fans off camera, they were more than authentic. They really took their time. And once again, they were so appreciative of those that supported their work. And that was another thing that helped me see that they're so grounded. And without that sort of influence from their fans, maybe they wouldn't have been able to reach that certain level and have that sort of essence. Those are the sort of things that I was fortunate enough to see and to experience, because this wasn't a traditional path. Should have never happened, Jimmy. It was a one in a million shot. But I tell you what, if you know somebody's name and you reduce any sort of fear, since English is their second language, I let them know it's 10 times harder than anything that they're going to be put on to work at my company by learning a second language, by practicing role play, recording themselves, having a quality control department to grade them on what they need to do. But I focus more on the soft skills, on when to use the name drop or a personal pronoun to keep their attention. I like raking and confirming information to show active listening. There's something called a positive escalation. So if somebody assists you prior to speaking to a decision maker, you mention that individual verbally and in writing. Is that acting? No, it's common sense and courtesy. And a lot of people are lazy like that. And so as long as you're very attentive to what's around you on stage and in your immediate surroundings, I would take any props that you have and use them to your advantage.
A lot of what you're saying is really resonating with the theater teachers that are listening right now, because I do not want to take anything away from the teachers you've had in your life. But I firmly believe, and I've done my own research to believe and have numbers to prove, that I think theater teachers do the things that you've been talking about better than many of the other teachers out there, better than most teachers out there, as far as cultivating those soft skills. Because I think for myself, and I think I can speak for many of the teachers listening right now, that we're not, we didn't go into the classroom to produce the next Broadway star, the next Tony winner, or the next Oscar winner. We went into the class to cultivate good consumers of theater and to cultivate these soft skills of listening, of working together, of rhetoric and language, and how we use our voice to communicate that. And being able to use those skills in wherever our students end up. So I love hearing that, that the, you're validating a lot of what we theater teachers believe that we do and prep our students for. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Sure. And think of some of the masters like Robin Williams, mm-hmm. that could just improvise on the spot. And in fact, I was watching a video the other day and they were showing different scenes in the movies that were not scripted. He did it and they kept it. Mm-hmm. And I think the greatest actors are the ones that are in the now, because they could be feeling something in that moment for an extra extended pause, maybe an illustrator with their body or hands to express oneself. Where I always sometimes believe in the natural stutter, where it could even sound more authentic, because there's no straight lines in nature. Sometimes you need to have that sort of grinding gears just to make it sound more authentic, or a little bit of slice in the armor. And I like those things. In fact, there is a Me Too technique that I have, which can add a scene where, for an example, when we're making phone calls, I'm supposed to be talking to you, Jimmy, about a pet. And let's say there's a dog in the background. Well, all of a sudden you have another actor making a cameo. What are you going to do? And so what I like to do is let you know how much I love dogs, but then ask the follow-up question, what's the dog's name? And it could be very funny. It could be something to remember. Let's say you say Fluffy. So inadvertently and passive-aggressively, it's almost like telling you how the dog sounds great, but it's really giving you a hint to put it outside. So these are sort of the things where hecklers, for comedians or live actors, sometimes they can work around it, make the joke and move on, and it really expands on the experience as long as it doesn't ruin the performance. And so you really have to be in the moment. If you're too well rehearsed, if you're thinking ahead of that next line, you're going to miss it. You won't catch it. You won't be a painting. You'll be more of a print. It'll be like your 99th performance, but there's nothing raw about it. There's nothing authentic. The Grateful Dead, you said you heard something new every concert, even though they've been playing the same songs. You should be giving a little bit of special sauce on every performance, even if it is the same lines night after night. And so I think every audience deserves something fresh and new. And if you are given that opportunity of having that random variable, I told you before, it's another prop of a movie that just could show up and could make the scene. And so I think anything goes with someone that's trained, and you should be working your mind with that. Like if you're walking around the street, just looking at certain things and seeing how you can incorporate that for striking up a conversation. Or if you're going into a restaurant, picking out something that you know the owner is so proud of. It's behind the bar, up top, and under lights. Will you please compliment his 10-year anniversary? I mean, the guy is always doing is showing that dollar bill and putting the date there. So it could really make you visually aware of, more lucid of what is in that environment to once again enhance your delivery and experience.
As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking beyond just teaching and for the importance of what relationships, because from what you're sharing, it's listening, it's being present, it's being in the moment forming those relationships with that additional character that it pops into the scene with you or the individuals you're working with in training. So this is just a kind of a aha moment for me, is that all the work that all of us do is really relationship based.
Yes, it is.
Hey, theater educators, this is Jimmy Chrisman. If you have ever wondered how you can support the podcast in any way, well, I'm about to tell you. Fed Talks Podcast has always been and will always be a free podcast that I put out there for you teachers. I know you don't make a lot of money. I don't make a lot of money as a university professor. But if the podcast is something that has helped you out, or that you just really want to find a way to support us, this is how. Visit www.buymeacoffee.com/FedTalksPC. And there you can make a donation right to the expenses of the show to help offset those costs. I thank you in advance for what you will do. Thank you for those of you who have donated. I appreciate it. And even if you can't make a donation, I still appreciate you. Just continue to listen and continue to share. That website again is www.buymeacoffee.com/TEDTalksPC. So share with me what you do in Costa Rica at the call center. Talk to me about your process there and some of your favorite experiences.
Well, I have a nearshore bilingual dedicated call center that does outbound sales, appointment setting, lead generation, inbound customer support, and back office support. But let's serve dessert first, shall we? I have a gamification culture. I'm an avid collector, and I restore American pinball machines, jukeboxes, and retro arcade machines. So I have created a neutral environment that people can let off steam, recharge batteries, hang out with their boss. And I believe the best relationships are built through play. And maybe during theater or any sort of class, when a teacher can create a sort of game where there's no repercussion, you can have some fun and laugh and still learn. It's almost like Potsy in Happy Days, where he sang the song in order to pass that final exam test. You sometimes need to crack a code. And some individuals are just not made for sitting in a rigid environment and absorbing the information that way. The best classes were when you brought in the TV and VCR so people could watch a movie during class, you know, and talk about it. Or when people would have to stand up and give presentations or group projects. And so I think that just like in a school day, you have lunch breaks and younger years recess. If a teacher has 50 minutes, take 40 to do your class, but 10 minutes should be fun. Your students should choose what they want to do or just create a very simple game to play that they could earn points on or just build their confidence on or just laugh a bit. Because I always felt like it here, if I pulled somebody off of a phone when they're on a high and just had a great phone call, instead of putting them right back on the phone, why don't we share what they did correctly? Pat them on the back, let them put some water on their face, walk around the floor and get their acclimates, and then they can get back there. So it really depends on what you want to do with that time. I'd rather use it to expand it than just keep it in one person and try to move forward. You could get more on wit than you can on that sort of way, especially if someone's having an incredible day and they found they're focused or they're in a groove or they're having a good time at home. And it's not affecting their performance when they come to work or go to the theater. Because as much as it may be an escape and they're trying to recharge their batteries, the worst thing to do is mess with the mind. It could really block you and throw your timing off. And the next thing you know, it becomes a spider web and it's domino. And you stub your toe, you bump the car, you spill your drink at lunch. You know, everything's off that day. Nothing's going right. And so I think there are certain times when individuals can readjust you or feed off of that energy just to make sure that it's preserved. So please just don't go through your syllabus and just do a normal Wednesday, because every day could be that day that you influenced an 18-year-old Richard to continue studying his languages and building a career. It might be the 100th time you've done that class, but it's the first time that Jimmy and Richard heard this. And next thing you know, at lunchtime, we're talking about it. And instead of doing an architecture career, you and I decide to take different majors at different universities. And so I find that stuff to be very delicate. It's almost priceless. I know that you earn a living, but you got to think about the flip side, not only the earnings potential, but the sort of, I guess, mental stability that these young men and women are going to have for the rest of their lives. I look at it like this too. There's a chance that what we're talking about today, besides theater, it could save a marriage, could save a divorce, you know, or maybe a Thanksgiving dinner, or possibly you getting fired at a job because you're pulling a Jerry Maguire or having a weird day, or getting thrown off a set because your timing's off and you're fighting with people. I always heard that the best actors are the ones that thank everybody else behind the scenes, because nobody else does. And those are the ones that give you 50 high fives before you go on the, you know, you go on the stage. They're the ones that are the most proud of you. They'll work extra hard to make sure your costume's perfect and your makeup's perfect and your lines are there. And I believe in synergy Jimmy. That's why at the end of the movie, you see all those credits. There's a lot of people involved in that movie, not just the star. And some people don't want to be in front of the camera. They enjoy the creative process behind the scenes, like myself, that was once an actor on the phone, that was once a student, that became a teacher, and now at my age, a mentor. And I don't compromise ethics or values or morals. I'm a guest in this country. Besides feeding families and offering employment, my friend, I'm really trying to reinforce their self-reliance and self-confidence in regards to English and how you and I can represent this industry in the best light and do things properly. You can do clean performances. I don't need to curse. We don't need to yell. I don't need to force a hand. There are certain things you can do from an educated point of view. People will pay for the tickets, will come to the shows, will write positive reviews about you. It should be done effortlessly. It should be done through Wu Wei, through no resistance. And that's why certain people are loved and treasured in Hollywood and in theater, because they just do things in such a way they're just giving and not really asking for anything in return.
As you were talking, I was thinking back to my 17 years in the high school classroom and looking back at the very beginning of my career and where I ended before I came to higher education, and just my journey with that and the words I choose to use with my students and the tone. And when I was very young, my first couple of years, I was a yeller. I've talked about that on the show before. I was a yeller, and that didn't get anywhere with my kids. That didn't get anywhere with my students. So I had to figure out who I was as a teacher and where my heart was as a teacher and center those two things to be the authentic me in the classroom that reached those kids. And, you know, when I think there are teachers listening who every day that, you know, just the hello as they come in your classroom is makes the difference. You know, it could have been they were just yelled at in their class before, but when they come to you, they see a smile and a warm face and they enjoy what they're doing in your room with the play, and that there are no wrong answers as we're playing and creating. And so I appreciate you sharing that. I don't really have much more I want to add to that, because I think you beautifully said, I think what many of us experience and what teachers deal with on the daily basis. So thank you.
Yeah, let me share one more thing.
Please.
I'm playing pinball in the morning, and I know you're not supposed to touch people, right? Or unless it's a handshake, but I'll get a lot of shoulder and upper arm taps. Good morning, boss. How you doing, boss? It's appropriate. It's not inappropriate, okay? And it's showing me that they're comfortable enough to wish me well, not be afraid of me, because if you're not cheating on a test, why would you be afraid of a teacher? If I'm not breaking the law, why am I afraid of a cop? And if I'm coming to work on time, pen at the ready, giving my best, why would you be afraid of me? That's your own issue. I'm giving you a clean slate, as you should with me. Don't judge me on that last teacher that embarrassed you and gave you a poor grade when I am the one that is encouraging you. And how about this, Jimmy? I mean, besides just, you know, the wine and roses and all the nice stuff, I also give them Philly guilt. Oh, yeah. I call the balls and the strikes. I'm going to say, hey, Jimmy, you know you're better than this, right? Come on, last week you did 14, and this is definitely out of character. You're usually saying good morning to people and smiling. Why are you bitter today? You know, it's the kind of thing where I'm not going to enable somebody's bad habits. If something needs to be addressed legally through Costa Rican labor law, I'll do what I can. But if it's just as simple as pumping someone up and readjustments and just taking a two-second breather, so at least they know someone is out there. I've seen that save many an agent from, once again, falling into some of those traps. And I think a teacher needs to be very observant with that as well. And just dip your toe in and test the waters and just make sure everything is okay that day.
Yeah. My freshmen who are in 2 weeks from yesterday will be in my classroom. That is one of the first things I tell them, is that my job is to get you where you want to be. And I'm going to do that with the best tools that I know how to give you. And I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader along the way, but I'm also going to be the one who pulls you inside and says, you messed up. let's fix that. How are we going to do it different next time? But they know that going forward. And I think they want, for some reason, they come to me wanting more of that. They want me to tell them when they've messed up and when they're wrong. And I'm a strengths-based teacher, whereas I really try to focus on the positive and build those up. And when I need to pull them aside and let them know where something went wrong, then I do that. But I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate you sharing that.
Jimmy, nobody bats 1,000. If they do, give me their name and number. I'd love to call them and find out the secret. And it's more something where I just can't hit the ball and drag Johnny. I'll bend you to get you better because you need to build muscle. You need to get that confidence. But if you're so delicate for a break because I'm listening to a phone call or your performance and making a suggestion, it's not me. And that's okay because I know that through my good intentions, my good faith, the fact that I've done that before, so it's not like, you know, I'm making it up. I can understand. But this is a little bit of a different generation. I've seen people that just don't come back, don't give notices, don't allow you to prevent something, and all of a sudden you're trying to cure something. And so these are the sort of things where I don't enjoy surprises. Mm. I mean, if you're going to be forthright with me in the beginning and look me in the eyes, I should expect the same thing at the end if it is not a perfect fit or not the right time. It's not me and you, Jimmy. It's the maturity of the students with whom we spend this time. Because if I took each one personal, I'd be in the corner crying. Mm-hmm. But I know perfectly well that I've done my job. You know, I might be the sweetest peach. Not everyone loves peaches. But I'm also not a person that will give you a walk of shame, curse at you, deface you. I don't do things like that. But I'm going to prepare you to be like Rocky so you can go the distance just like I did. I'm proof in the pudding. And so if somebody is interested in that sort of momentum and vigor, grit where we die with our boots on, then by all means, you're in the right environment. But I'm once again not going to carry you. I need somebody to develop their own skills.
Are you a regular listener of Fed Talks and have always wondered how you can be a guest on the show? Well, this is how you sign up to be a guest on Fed Talks and join the ranks of all the other amazing theater educators that have been on the show. All you do is go to www.fedtalks.com and right at the top of the page, there's a link that says register as a guest. Click that and then you'll be taken to a page where you fill out some information and hit submit. And once you do, you'll be taken to a scheduling link where you can schedule a time to have an interview with me and share your stories and resources here on the show. You may think, ugh, I don't really have something to talk about. Nobody wants to hear my stories. You know what? Every single guest who I have talked to has pretty much said the same thing, and we have a fantastic conversation, and hopefully those stories and what you're hearing keep bringing you back. So I promise you, you have things that people want to hear, and I want to hear from you. www.fedtalks.com and click register as a guest. Stop thinking about it and just do it. I can't wait to talk to you soon. Well, Richard, I would love to know what's next for you. Where is life taking you now? And what do you have going on right now?
Well, once again, besides my business, I love working out in the mornings, washing my convertibles on Sunday and playing pinball. But when I do have more time, I'm going to start writing some children's books. And it will involve Rube Goldberg experiments in mini golf. So just sit tight. I'm going to have some really interesting stuff coming out there. But, you know, I'm going to take more steps back and delegate so I can promote those from within so I can have more time to spend with my wife and my friends and myself. And a lot of it has to do with art classes. I want to do more clay molding and drawing and painting. I bought a guitar and a violin. I'm going to be doing those classes. And it's just that sort of thing where I can appreciate all different types of art and mediums, not just for expression, just for pure enjoyment. And so these are the sort of things that I'm really looking forward to spending more time in. Fortune favors the brave, and that there may be some naysayers and gray believers that are out there. And that's okay. It's because they care about you. But if you can make your argument And my argument was my great grandparents that came at the turn of the 20th century from Europe to New York City to be in the garment industry. They learned English. They were entrepreneurs. So it skipped two generations. But those were the arguments I made to my parents to allow me to be on this sort of vision quest, this spiritual life journey. And the fact that my stars became aligned, I mean, it was a one in a million chance. It makes you very humble and exceptionally grateful. And I do believe that success is built on 1 million thank yous. And the fact that I've had individuals with me over a decade to establish a foundation where I was able to grow and to have that sort of credibility in a foreign country was incredible. It was a wonderful experience. And I discussed that with my friends over cocktails. You know, it's a great story to tell, you know. But what most of my friends say, and they've all been exceptionally successful, is that they wish that they tried something earlier on in life, not maybe through both feet in like I did, but if they had a certain interest, maybe still being responsible financially and with their family, but trying it just to see if you could drink life and what could happen. And for me, sometimes dreamers walk alone. I couldn't compare notes to people who was doing what I was doing, but that's okay. Because as long as you have a support group around you that sees that you are just loving life and that you're glowing, you're shining, you're happy, then by all means, you should support it. And hopefully it takes you somewhere well. But that would be my main advice, especially for actors that are vulnerable, that they're afraid of being critiqued or something. Who cares? What difference does it make? As long as you can look at yourself in the mirror and know that you did something, then that's fine. They're not going to pay your rent one day. Or your mortgage, or raise your children. These are the individuals that have their own egocentric sort of personalities and worried about their fragile states of mind. And once you could let that go and be true to your real interests and follow through on that, and I think there's nothing better than someone that's free to express themselves and very confident in their own tastes.
It's all about risk taking, right?
Being willing calculated to risk taking.
Yeah, being willing to try.
Absolutely, my friend. Yeah. You kidding me? Then you get all the riches. Like Scooby-Doo, if you don't explore that spooky cave, you're not going to find the gold. You know?
And that's what when I tell my student, when I'm working with actors on stage as a director, or my students when they're teaching for the first time in front of kids, and they're planning their lessons or they're creating their characters on stage, like, can I try this? Will you be okay if I try this tonight? I'm like, please try it. Please play with it. See what happens. Let's see what happens. The worst thing that can happen is I'll say, that didn't work. Let's try something different next time. Or if you're teaching a class, if the lesson falls on its face, you're going to pick yourself up, finish the lesson, and fix it for next time. So, I mean, that's the worst that can happen. So I
reject profanity. I don't like slang. And I don't like when people are lazy with their speech and they hedge, where they do ums, ahs, okays. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes the best acting is when I confirm what you say, repeat it, and then add to it. We call that a buffer boomerang technique, when people start asking questions where I need to readjust the tone, show active listening, and send back an answer to you. And so once again, these are the sort of in-the-moment soft skills that your teachers, your students, and their friends and family can see and understand.
Well, Richard, I would love to know what is a resource that you can recommend for the teachers and other artists listening right now that is a must have, whether it's a book, a website, a service that's available that they need to take advantage of.
Ah, Jimmy, it's so simple. Self-improvement is self-analysis. I think if somebody records themselves, they should watch it without sound. They should listen to it without sight. And then they should combine all three. And I think that's the way to get the fastest improvement from somebody. Because I can tell you how many times your timing is off, and unless you hear it, come to me. Because all I do, Jimmy, is put my arms out and I go, and then you say, yeah, I know I missed it. Exactly. You and I don't have to say anything as long as they can understand that. Then it doesn't become a habit. They can eliminate it and replace it with something. The worst thing you could say is dead air on the radio. Well, someone needs to listen to it to understand their timing and to think about it. And so I think the greatest performances are the ones with the self-analysis. But, you know, I always mentioned certain actors before, but that's my own personal taste. But I do love the old movies from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. I liked things before technology. I enjoyed watching the certain, you know, the furniture, the cars. And since I'm an old school collector of machines, every time they go to a bar or a restaurant, I'm picking out pinballs and jukeboxes and freaking out about it. So that's fun for me. But that was some really clean acting. And the vocabulary and delivery was really nice. And so for me, I found that to be an influence, especially if you're looking at different types of audiences. You shouldn't just be thinking of today in the genre, because once again, that'll become passé. You should be studying every sort of decade and pulling the best out of each one, even if it's from clothes to speaking style to forms, or the things that made people a legend and why they're still famous to this day. And maybe studying individuals that had influential speeches. Just doesn't have to be politicians. They could be spiritual leaders. They could be musicians, artists, any type of person. But study on the reaction of someone's action to see if it would be appropriate for you. And I think those would probably be the best studies, because you don't need a self-help book. Just take what's out there, what's the true result, because the market speaks. And I think that may assist you.
Appreciate that. I think that's good. And those are accessible for sure. And my final question, you've already given some fantastic advice, but do you have any other parting words of wisdom for that new teacher entering the teaching field, or that veteran who just needs an encouraging word right now as the school year begins?
Of course. My dear teachers, don't lose your love for what you're doing. Naturally, there's 1,000 careers where you might make $1 million. You're not in this for the money. You're in this to pay it forward and to be that influential teacher that really makes that connection. They may not do their homework. They may be distracted. They're young. What do you expect them to do? When you were in their shoes, what were you, an angel? No, you were distracted. You were thinking of sports and your friends and the roller skating party on Saturday. And so as I say before, you don't want to be a joker and act the fool. But there is that sort of Dead Poets Society moment where you could really be that teacher that walks the roads, lets a student that might be unfocused that day earn those points against, so he doesn't get in trouble with his folks. And put it this way, you know, when someone's been practicing the violin, if some kid comes back the next day and rattles off three answers that he got wrong, because you know perfectly well he studied it, by all means, give him the points. I know there's that sort of structure there, but not everything is in that sort of structure. Just allow this individual to get to the finish line one way or another. Those are the best teachers. You can do it on the DL, or you can do that after school thing, or just during class. Don't embarrass somebody. You don't need to keep calling on someone to give them that sort of confidence. It might not be the right time. It could be done privately. So there maybe their writing is a little bit better. Maybe how they're standing in front of the class, you could teach them, you know, for that sort of confidence. That's what happened to me. And I think the best sort of growth I had was on a one-to-one basis. Not just on tutors, but the fact that I was distracted during class, wasn't paying attention. And thankfully, after school, I could jump in for 10, 15 minutes to have that individual walk me through my physics or my mathematics, because during class, I'm completely distracted. That was me. But it worked. And, you know, hopefully you get a lot of apples on your desk. And hopefully they come to you with outside projects where they read an article, they watched a movie. Or if you said something a week or two ago, they come back and repeat it because they've pondered it and it's changed their life. And then it just doesn't have to be you with your 100 students. If you can get 5 or 10 amazing students, let them speak for you. Let them be the ones to sit at the lunchroom and talk how cool Jimmy and Richard are, and their class is the best. And now they're not going to blow off the test, but actually try to do well because I've inspired you and not just earning money, but having more of a fulfilled life if you can pick up these skills. And there is no book for this. It's a riddle. And every day it's going to change. And the key will never open that door. You have to be more creative than that. sometimes magic. So as long as you can capture that energy from the individual, combine it with yours, something may happen. But hats off to you, because teaching is not an easy profession. It's changed a lot through the years. But the fact that you have this desire to improve somebody's life, I think it's wonderful. But as I say, don't take this home with you, the heavy heart, and don't allow it to change your vision on what you're trying to do. You have to battle through that. Don't quit 80% in. Be that tenured teacher that has those battle scars and can pass that wisdom along to the young ones. That's your goal.
Well, Richard Blank, thank you so much for joining me today. I cannot thank you enough, and just let you know how much I needed this, and I needed your words of encouragement right now. So thank you. I wish you all the best with everything you have going on in Costa Rica and all your collections. And I know my listeners can't see your background right now, but are those some of the things that you have refurbished and brought back to life there?
It's a 1961 Rocola Regis and a candy machine. And if you Google my company, you'll see that I restored a 1958 building, but I did it via Art Deco. It really does look like an old theater with neon marquees. You got to be kidding. And Broadway font. I did it so old school style. You
Very
have
cool.
to, because when you're walking in here, you are artists of speech.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you again. And I wish you all the best, my friend.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. Had a great time today.
And that is a wrap for this episode of Fed Talks Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please visit our website at www.fedtalks.com, where you can find all of the past guest pages with their valuable resources and lots more information on the website for you. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast provider so that it automatically populates in your podcast app so you don't have to miss a single episode. Please rate us, leave us those 5 stars, review us, tell us what you're liking, and more importantly, share the podcast with all of those theater educators in your life who you think could benefit from what we're doing here on the show. You can email me at jimmy@fedtalks.com, and I will always respond. I love interacting with you on there. Visit us on Twitter at Theater Ed Talks, Facebook, the Fed Talks page, and on Instagram, Fed Talks Podcast. Teachers, I appreciate you. I love you, and I am so grateful for all that you're doing and the light that you're bringing to this world. Continue to change those students' lives and continue to make a difference in the world. Join us next week for a new episode. I'm your host, Jimmy Crisman. Have an amazing week.